The lesson is from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is the word of the Lord.
So as mentioned, all the good stuff last week and great week of sharing the message of God's love. When life is sad,
God is good.
When life changes,
God is good.
When life is good, the people who are in the know are loving it. The people who are not go, what's that about anyways? But the point is, God's love was shared in that important gospel word with a number of children, families this past week. And children experience the expressions of God's love through the family of God. And I'm just wondering, how many lies, 1, 2, 10, 11. How many lives, how many little children among us experienced a bit of God changing, perhaps in some measure, the trajectory of your life? Do you believe that? Amen. And amen to that? Because God's word never returns void. So we sow the word into children's lives. Pastor Matt talked last week about living life like Jesus, up with the Father in that covenant relationship with the Father. That was the source of Jesus' fruitfulness, if you will. In with his disciples, where they encouraged, but they brought challenge to both hear and do the word of God. And out in mission, with the God of mission, whose heart breaks for lost and fallen people. Our God is a God of mission from the very beginning. Just think about it. God chooses, in God's infinite wisdom, chooses the people of Israel out from all the other nations, people of the world, for whatever reason, he chose them in his sovereign grace and mercy to be a light to the nations. It wasn't just to be about the people of Israel. They were to be a light. They were to be the means through which God's love, who God was, truly is, and his essential character, made known to the world to be a light to the nation. You know the Bible verse, God so loves the world that he gave his only son. God in love leaves heaven incarnate in Jesus Christ, expresses that love, of course, on the cross, taking your sin and my sin upon himself, setting the world free from sin. And you and I then are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ then, by the goodness of God, the grace of God, to be in mission to people who are hurting and broken. And oftentimes, to be in mission to family members, those with whom we live in close, brothers and sisters, and our very children. God is a God of mission. God calls you and me into the family business, if you will, of mission. And here's our mission statement, this church. We exist. This is our reason for existence, to be disciples, hearing and doing the word by living out God's word. How? Reaching out into the community and bringing people to Jesus. Let me just ask you, let's just kind of together reflect. How many kids, how many parents, how many people, aunts, uncles, how many families, how many people out there are living without the hope of Jesus Christ? Are living without the experience that in the midst of our lostness, there's a God who pursues us through the Holy Spirit? How many people? God's heart breaks for lost and despairing people of all ages who don't know his love. So I want to talk to you about what's really on the heart of God. It's love for you. It's love for this world. But again, it's love for the lost. And again, those perhaps with whom we live in close. I want to give you three keys to connect with a lost and broken people. Connect the love of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Here's three big ones. Here's the first one. Live from the overflow of family. I'm talking about the overflow of the family of God. Stay with me on this one, if you will. God creates. When you read Genesis 1, it's poetic. God creates this marvelous world. He separates light from darkness. He brings forth, and separates dry land from sea. He brings forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees. He creates the wild animals of the field as such, the fish of the sea. God looks upon creation, and it's so marvelous, it's so awesome. He says, it is good, and he blesses it. And it lives out its purpose, creation it does. It lives out its purpose of just making known the awesomeness of God and all his wonder, his creative handiwork. It's all good. It's all blessed. Then God goes out on a limb. And he creates humankind. When you read Genesis 2, he gets down and dirty with the earth. Puts his hands in the earth and forms, breathes in the very breath of life into humankind. This is risky. Because God creates with that certain amount of freedom. And the question is, will humankind then reflect the awesomeness of God, Creator God? In verse 26, we just heard these words read. God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. That phrase, created in God's image, we hear it three times. That sense of image is that we are imprinted by God, that God has shaped us. We're different. We're the pinnacle of God's creation because he's created us to be in relationship with us. He's imprinted us, again shaped us for a loving relationship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We see that plural pronoun, do we not? Us. God's creation of humankind is an outgrowth of the love of God. The love of God that exists eternally between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God creates us in love. And what's so wonderful, as we see here, and as we look throughout Scripture, God invites us into that loving relationship that exists in the Godhead. Isn't that amazing? It's like a parent, two parents, and they create this child, an expression of the love between a husband and a wife. Love poured into that child. The child can sense it, can sense that love. That's what God is doing here. From the overflow of that love of God, we are called by God, that invitation in that relationship. We are then given purpose. Everybody has purpose. We are given purpose then, in this case, to tend and care for creation, and still today, but in the New Testament sense, to care for the lost, the hurting. God calls us into that mission to those who do not yet know. And we're to, that image. In some measure, and we need mega grace to do this, but in some measure, we are called to represent, to be an icon, if you will, an image of the grace and the love of God in Jesus Christ because we have experienced that grace. We're called to reflect, in some measure, the goodness of God and to, share that message in both word and deed to those who do not yet know. It's a tall order. And we trust by grace and by the empowerment of the Spirit. But look again, we see this uniqueness of humankind in verse 28. God speaks directly then to the man. Didn't speak directly to any other aspect of creation, speaks directly to man. And then he addresses the man personally. See, I have given you every plant yielding seed upon the face of the earth. In a sense, God has kind of teed it up. I've created you in my image. I'm overflowing with love into your life. I'm speaking to you to guide you and lead you. You are the pinnacle of creation. I want you to partner with me in the family business, if you will, in this case, again, tending and caring for creation. I don't know about you, but I just think that's awesome. The love of God is calling out to each and every one of us, inviting us in to a loving relationship. living from the overflow of that family of God love in our own lives. Let me ask you, how are we doing? How am I doing in terms of living life daily, by virtue of the daily bread of God, living life from the overflow of the love of the family of God? And how are we doing? Are we? Are we engaged in a greater purpose? Oh, yeah, we have the purpose of making a living and raising the kids, and it's great and grand. But in and through all of that, are we living for that greater purpose of hearing and then representing, in a sense, being in mission to help others know that God is good, even when life is sad? Are we? And here's a second key to, you know, living from that overflow then of that love. We are then, and to love others, we are to look for the person of peace. Not everyone's going to respond, or at least at a particular time. Not everyone's going to want to hear the message. But there are people of peace. There are people whose hearts God has prepared, and we see Jesus living this out. In John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, Jesus had just been in the region of Judea, started to make his way back to Galilee. He chose to then go through the region of Samaria, Samaria being hostile to a Jewish person. To go into the Samaritan region could make one, would make one unclean, unfit for worship, gathering with the community of faith. Nonetheless, Jesus is an expression of the very heart of God for the lost and disenfranchised. So he goes through Samaria. He comes to the well. And here is this woman. She's so, you know, probably, you know, thinks so little of herself. So she goes at noon so she won't see anybody. And Jesus then, you know, this is taboo for a Jewish man, certainly a rabbi teacher, to engage this woman in conversation, a lowly Samaritan woman. But he does so because, again, he's expressing the love of God to the broken, the disenfranchised. And as he engages in conversation, she senses something different is taking place here as the conversation progresses. She's in the very presence of God, and perhaps now in the very presence of the Messiah, the one whom God had promised to send. And her heart is touched, and she starts to be changed, transformed. And the eyes of faith are opening. And we are told then she goes to her city and says, I believe I've seen the Messiah. Come and see. She becomes the first evangelist, if you will. The person of peace. God is stirring. God is at work in people's lives. And if we are out there, available, we will see God using us to connect. To connect with those he wants us to connect with. In Luke chapter 10, it's referred to, when you read that, go read Luke chapter 10, the person of peace. The people who will receive your peace. We need to be people of peace. People, again, who are living from that overflow of the love of God. And there's a certain amount of peace about us by virtue of the presence of God. And we find ourselves, maybe just by grace, you know, being a little more loving than the next person, a smile for the one who looks like they need a smile. It's funny. You'll find yourself, that person just is sitting there. Perhaps a smile can make a big difference. A kind word. I saw someone just struggling to get through a door. Could have just sat there, good luck. Just open the door. Who knows? You're a person of peace. And as you're engaging, you'll be surprised at the people that you will have an opportunity to just maybe connect in some measure. After the first service, I was talking to a woman. She has volunteered many, many hours in a hospital setting. And there's a woman that she has known through the years. And this woman said, I only have 6 months to live. And I'm afraid to die. And she said, in not being, you know, patronizing, I'm not afraid to die. And she's not saying that just because I'm Pastor John. No, she means that because of her relationship, her covenant relationship with the Lord. She has that assurance. So she asked me, hey, do you want to speak with her sometime? I said, how about you speak with her? Say your prayers. And then as you meet and greet her, as you feel like God opens the door, just say, last time we chatted, you mentioned you're afraid to die. I encourage her just to share a little bit of her hope, why she has some assurance in the face of death. I can do that. And then if she say, is there any way I can help her? You know, then maybe send in the professional help, huh? No, she'll do far better than me. Huh? But that's God at work, a person of peace. And she then is a person of peace and engages her along life's pathway. Are we living from the overflow? A daily, you know, connecting with God? God pouring forth his life, his love? Are we out there discerning? We can say a prayer. It's a challenge. But just to wake up and say, hey, God, I'm available. If you want to use me in some way to encourage another. That brings us to the third key. Discover. This is discover. Family on mission. We used to, and we still do, want to invite people to church. But the first move may be to invite them into our lives. A family barbecue is such. We often think about Jesus being this solitary figure. But Jesus had his inner circle of three, you know, the real intimate. He had his disciples that he engaged in, you know, life on life. But he also had an extended family mission. And he literally seeks that out, as we see in the fourth chapter of Luke. You know, Jesus is tempted by Satan. He lives from the overflow of his covenant and the word of God. We say that he emerges from that wilderness experience of temptation in the spirit. Now he's in the spirit, he's strengthened, he's living from overflow. And he goes, hey, let's begin my ministry. I certainly receive a warm reception in my hometown of Nazareth. He goes to the hometown of Nazareth. He does what he does. He preaches in the synagogue. And he shares from Isaiah. And little by little as he shares, and he kind of brings a challenging word, and he says, this word from Isaiah is fulfilled in your hearing. A prophetic word about God sending the Messiah, that he himself is the fulfillment of that promise of the Messiah. And they become enraged. Is this not the son of Joseph? And they lead him to the edge of a cliff and seek to just hurl him on the rocks. And if that doesn't kill him, throw a few more on top of him for good measure. What does he do? He goes to Capernaum. Earlier in John's Gospel, or in John's Gospel, chapter 1, he discovered persons of peace. Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, Philip, Nathanael, and the like. He goes to Capernaum, preaches in the synagogue, again, as was his practice. Afterward, he goes to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. He heals Peter's mother-in-law, and there he finds his spiritual home, his extended family on mission. It becomes a home base. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also a true human being. Key place of support, encouragement, gathering together, linking arms in mission to seek and save the lost. And what's so amazing, Peter and Andrew, family fishing business, they were successful. But that family business is turned inside out, and they become fishers of men. A home base, you know, a wall to protect, a fortress. No law and order there to protect the family. You know, hunker down. And it's turned inside out, and they start inviting all the townspeople in. And by virtue of those relationships, those connections, they're a mission to seek and save the lost. The key way God is at work this day and age is through relationships. Covenant relationship, overflow of our relationship with the family of God, Father, Son. Our relationships as brothers and sisters, encouraging one another to live in faith. And then our relationship with unbelievers. People God has placed in our life, connecting, developing relationships, and perhaps inviting them into larger gatherings. I saw this. There's many other many examples of this, but I saw this with Patty with Sydney Weiss, and you and I chatted about it with the Oregon State basketball team. What's the family business? Basketball, right? But by virtue of the relationships and the connections with believers on the team and the unbelievers, some of those unbelievers were moved along the continuum of faith. And as I understand it, some were even baptized. Let me challenge you on two levels. Are you a part of a gathering right now? Perhaps it's a weekly happy hour gathering at the local pub. Are you a part of a car club, a gun club, a motorcycle club, what have you? That perhaps, if there's some believers in the ranks, that this can be just transformed a bit. Could you start some of those gatherings with just a little uptime? In other words, hey, let's just kind of take some time to say what we're thankful, what we're grateful to God for. Maybe pray for one another. Could there be a little transformation? Say, you know what? Maybe we need to exist not for ourselves, but maybe if we are in tune a bit, we can discern that maybe God would have us kind of reach out and serve others and develop some connections with others. Could your existing gatherings, if they're believers, be kind of transformed to kind of family on mission? Discovering family on mission. Chris and I were part of Salt and Light for about 2.5, 3 years. The purpose was to be out in the patio on a regular rhythm on Fridays, and we did do some connecting. It was wonderful to connect with some of the preschool families. Salt and Light's on a sabbatical, if you will, gathering with some of the leaders to discover kind of organic family on mission. In other words, being in mission with our existing families, because truth be known, there are a lot of people in our families who don't know Jesus. So by grace, we're praying, and we've not been as diligent as I would like in being kind of committed and faithful in praying for this grace for a regular rhythm where we can invite regularly family members, again, some who are far from God, into our life. But we are experiencing some grace and connecting more with family members. Just this past week, Jenny, my niece who's new in town, and her husband, Connor, who is not a believer, we had extended a couple invitations to her to come join us, couldn't make it. She called us and said, hey, you want to meet Thursday at Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers? There's a trivia night. And so we got a chance just to connect for 2 or 3 hours, just hanging out. And it was good. We're going to continue to press into the grace of regularly kind of a rhythm of meeting and seeing whom God might invite into our lives. Could your family, those you live in close with some intentionality, be in mission to family members and to those who are not family members and just connect and see where God takes those relationships? Remember, God pours his love into our lives. Pours his love. Receive the love. Be in tune. Be about what God is up to. And see what God does. I mentioned here in closing, you know how wonderful it was. I mean, by the way, the team that put on this past week's Vacation Bible School, I mean, it was top drawer. It was fantastic, wasn't it? I just watched it in awe. They're so good. Really, just using their gifts. I will say this. They were living from the overflow of their God connection. It was natural. And the kids, the number of kids who were sown into. But again, God's heart breaks for those who do not yet know. So I'll just share with you these words in closing. Carry the light. In this world of darkness, we are given light, hope for all the dying. How will they know? How will they know that Jesus loves them and he died to save them? Carry the light, carry the light. Go and tell the children they are precious in his sight. Carry the light, carry the light. carry the light. Amen.